Those words that talk about how peace can actually come over us, man, I think we all needed that right now because I think we experience a lot of anxieties we're going to look at this week. In fact, I saw some really unsettling statistics just this week. Here's one. The average high school kid today has the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the early 1950s. I mean, just think about that for a moment. And then the Washington Post reported that this was kind of early in the pandemic, that a third of Americans are now showing signs of clinical anxiety and depression. I mean, that level of anxiety and depression. And then this next one's maybe most unsettling, though maybe not surprising, that for 80 years, young Americans have been getting more and more anxious and depressed each and every year. And we understand why, right? I mean, over the last 80 years, our country's gone through world wars. We've had financial, you know, difficulties. Even this weekend, we're commemorating the 9/11 events that took place. And if you were alive during that season, certainly have memories of the anxiety that that event created here in our country. Following that, in the years to follow, we had, again, some economic downturns in 2007, 2008, 2011. And then, of course, here we are in the pandemic. And so many, many things to create anxiety all around us. And we realize this is a problem. Like, we feel the weight of this. And so this weekend, we're going to look at this. And I certainly don't have all the answers in terms of how to fully combat anxiety. But we are going to look at some things that I think will help, that God gives us to navigate our anxiety. And I'm going to do my best to help us understand that this weekend. And if these things are helpful, I tell you what, you're not going to miss something kicking off in 3 weekends, which is the 49-day challenge. And this is going to be 7 weeks where we look at tools similar to what we're doing this weekend, tools that allow us to become better and stronger in our faith and our relationships, being able to endure difficult times. And so put that on your calendar. Make sure you join us here, kicking off here in 3 weekends for the 49-day challenge. Now, my name's Kurt, and if we haven't had a chance to meet, it's great to have you here with us today. Those of you online, so good to have you joining us. And if it's your first time with us, you've got some free movie tickets coming your way, which is awesome. Make sure you complete that connection card. Now, today we're going to be looking at anxiety through this movie called Fatherhood. And this is a unique movie because this is a movie that was produced by Sony Pictures, but it got sold to Netflix and released on the Netflix platform. So that's where you can find it. It's a story, true-to-life story, about a dad by the name of Mark who has to raise his infant daughter by himself because the day after his daughter was born, his wife died. And so Matt has to navigate the ups, the downs, not only of being a parent, but being a single parent now, and of course the ups and the downs and the anxiety of the trauma he experienced by losing a spouse. And so if you haven't seen the movie, it's a fantastic movie, and here's a sneak peek. Take a look at this.
Excuse me. She's been like crying for hours.
Sorry, but this is a group for new mothers.
On that sign out there, it says parents. I'm a parent and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Girl's got some stuff flying out of ass. So she can either hit you with a streamer or she'll buckshot you. It's a quick whop. I need help.
I don't know how you're gonna do this.
If you could have only one parent, I wish you could have had your mom. Because she would have been better at it.
And mommy was the best.
Go to sleep, Maddie.
It's not working though.
She's not a clapper.
Matthew, darling, we think you should move back to Minnesota. You're all alone here.
She needs family.
Raising a child is a non-stop, all day, all night affair.
You look great. Don't say it just to be saying it. You look like a king. King of the sling.
Wake up, Daddy! How does it look?
I think it's a new look. I think it's a new hairstyle that can catch on if given a chance.
Mr. Logan, Madeline doesn't have a mother to model after.
I am well aware of what my daughter doesn't have.
You think you can do this, but you can't?
No, man, you're right. I can't do it. But you know what? I'm going to do it because I'm a father. God, Maddie. Thank God today I got there in time to hold her hand. When Liz, I didn't get to hold her hand. She was gone.
It's always just us. Other people have more people.
I just want to do what your mom would have wanted me to do.
You are trying to make everything perfect. But we don't have any control.
Wherever you are, I want to go there.
Wherever you are, I want to go there too.
Somebody's cutting onions or something close to us or something. I don't know.
Hey, y'all gotta stop it!
Oh.
be so proud of you.
Two kisses.
One for mommy. One for me.
Hold on to me.
Stay close. Don't be scared.
Oh, man. You know, it's kind of cool to see Kevin Hart in like a dad role, right? Like not just the humorous side, but the caring side. And a dad, if we're honest, who deals with anxiety. And just out of curiosity, how many of us would say we're more anxious today than a year and a half ago? Just out of curiosity. Yeah. How about between now and 3 years ago? Yeah, many of all of us probably. I can't see all everybody's hands. I certainly would say that. And yet what I overwhelmingly believe is that no matter who you are, where you are, where your faith is at, regardless of where on the spectrum your faith may be, or how much anxiety you struggle with, I firmly believe that it can get better. And so this is why we're going to dig into this movie this weekend and this theme of anxiety that we see in the movie Fatherhood, because this is something that's plaguing our culture. And so let me define, give us a definition for anxiety. I want us to think of it this way. It's an unpleasant present emotion produced by the uncertainty of the future, about something that's in front of me, looming in front of me. And we feel it, right? I mean, we literally feel the anxiety. We feel it wash over us. And, you know, you might say, well, how do I know if I'm actually struggling with anxiety? Well, here's how you might know right here. If you have headaches, muscle pain, tension, tightness felt through the body, especially the head, neck, jaw, face, restlessness, rapid heart rate, fast breathing or hyperventilation, sweating, shaking, fatigue, dizziness, weakness, difficulty concentrating, sleep problems, nausea, digestive issues, feeling too hot or too cold, chest pain, dry mouth, depersonalization, derealization, feeling like you're going insane, thinking about a problem over and over again, unable to stop, or intensely or obsessively avoiding feared objects or places, you might have anxiety. All right. And I think I just listed every side effect there ever has been in life right there, right? Because that's what we feel when we are anxious. And most of us, if not all of us, have dealt with or wrestle on a regular basis with anxiety. So I want to share some things I've been discovering, some things God has been continuing to reveal to me that I think will be helpful to you. And because anxiety is real. We feel it. It's something we carry. And so as we think about this, I want us to think about anxiety like a virus, all right? Because we all know what a virus is, right? Too soon? Too soon to make that connection? All right, too soon. All right, how about a software virus? How about anxiety is like a software virus that we carry around with us everywhere we go, right? I mean, imagine yourself sitting at your computer. If you have a PC, if you have a Mac, you don't really connect with this at all. But if you have a PC, you know what it's like to sit there and the thing just keeps loading slower and slower. The images don't come up as fast. I mean, it's like you're not getting the full power out of the machine because there's this virus that's going on in the background of your PC, right? And so, even more than a software virus, anxiety really feels more like this. It's kind of like carrying around this big rock right here, right? Because it's heavy. We know what this is like because we feel the weight of it. And so this is what anxiety feels like, right? And this is a little bigger rock than I probably should have chose. Should have gotten a little smaller on the illustration. It's quite heavy. But, you know, we go about our day with this, right? And we go into our conversations. As we converse with people, we're conversing, you know, carrying this weight. As we work, we're interacting and doing our work and leading people, carrying this weight with us. We have to deal with our families. We continue to carry this around. And for like 60 seconds or so, it's totally fine. I mean, I have no problem doing this. But the longer you like, hold on to it, it gets harder and harder. And it gets heavier. And so you know what we do? We just do what any normal person would do, right? We grab a backpack and we put it in the bag so we can carry it around easier, right? Like this is what we do. And then we just strap it on our back and we carry it around, right? So we can go through our day. And you know, like remember when you were in junior high? Like you had that, like you had like all your books and your trapper keepers, like jam-packed in your bag. Like my kids still look like this when they walk out the door every day. I mean, they just have these big backpacks. And remember, as you like interact with people, they're like, what's in the bag? Like what's in the backpack? You're like, it's fine, it's cool, it's nothing. You don't need to worry about it at all. I mean, I got it, it's mine. No, seriously, like what's in it? No, it's fine, like no big deal. Because we want to hide it, right? We stick it in the bag so nobody can see it. And so we just carry around this anxiety, this uncertainty about the future. You know, about that problem that we're trying to control the outcome in our family on. Or we're trying to control the outcome with our kids, or the outcome with my job situation, or the economy, or, you know, how do I create the solution and control the outcome with my aging parents? And so we just put it in a backpack and we carry it around. And to be honest, I hope to do the whole teaching this way, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do this because it's pretty heavy, right? And like, I got to do this 3 times this weekend, so my chiropractor is not available all weekend. So I'm going to put this down, which is where the illustration, by the way, breaks down, because we don't do that with our anxiety, do we? But like, what's the answer? Like, what do we do with it? Well, maybe somebody said, well, just stop. All right, just stop. Stop being anxious. Anybody ever told you that? Just stop. To which you're probably like, obviously you don't get it. Or you don't get me. You don't understand me, that I just can't do that. Maybe I don't know how to do that. And so what do? We just carry it around, right? And so just so you know, the answer is not to just stop. I'm not going to give you that. That's not helpful at all. But I do think there's a way to navigate our anxiety, because let's be honest, it's not a once and done thing. It's not like, well, I solve it once and then I'm good. No, this is going to be an everyday through the rest of my life. How do I navigate the things that create anxiety in my life? So I want to look at 2 different guys from the New Testament, and these are guys who wrote letters. We're going to look at each of their letters. One is a guy by the name of Peter. Peter was like one of the best friends of Jesus, one of his followers. And then we're going to look at a guy by the name of Paul. Paul, we love to talk about around here. He was a follower later, after kind of Jesus had been here, died, resurrected, went to heaven. And so in both of these cases, these two men write letters, and they speak about anxiety. Now, we don't know exactly what kind of anxiety they had. We do get a glimpse of it, though. You know, we know Paul, for instance, he traveled all around the Mediterranean rim, and he, you know, traveled on this boat that you and I would not even step foot on. All right, he went through dangerous water, spent a night in the open sea. He was beaten. He was stoned, not, you know, but with rocks. All right, and he was snake bitten. I mean, he was shipwrecked not once, not twice, but 3 times, and he did all this without Advil or electricity. I mean, I don't know how he did it. So, like, that would be a little nerve-wracking, right? And we're going to look at Peter's story in a moment. So we realize we don't fully know what they dealt with. And like, they didn't have fidget pads. You know, you're like, hey, they're not that anxious because they don't have a fidget pad. If you're really dealing with anxiety, like, you have a fidget pad, right? That's what keeps you, like sane. We don't fully know what their deal was. But they do speak about anxiety, and they speak right to it. And so I want to read to you what they wrote, because I think this will be very helpful to us. And so here's what Peter said. He begins this way. He said, all of you. Now, do you know what that means in the Greek language? It means all of you. That's what it means. It means an all skate. It means like all of us are in the same boat. This is something we're all kind of dealing with together. So he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Which we go, okay, wait just a second. I thought we were talking about anxiety. What's he talking about humility for? Well, anxiety and humility are actually connected. In fact, Peter is going to make a very, very strong case for how they're connected here in just a moment. So he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because, and he's going to reveal something right here that's really fascinating and important and incredibly heavy and pointed. So here's what he says next. He says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Now, this is actually incredible to me right here. Think about this. We have a God who, when it comes to humility, all right, when we humble ourselves, God shows favor to those who humble themselves. But he opposes, this is a military term right here, he comes all against with full force those who walk around prideful, to which we go, whoa, okay. Like, we all do that to some degree or another, right? God says, no, I show favor. I show grace. I show kindness to those who come at this with humility. But I come with opposition. I use the full leverage of who I am when there's pride involved. And so what's the difference between pride and humility? We probably know what it is, right? But let me just, for clarity's sake, help us understand this. So pride is when we say, yep, this stuff I got, man, I got this. I got this. It's mine. I've got it. You know, I'm not proud about, like, the anxiety part of it. I'm proud about, like, you know, I'm going to control the thing with my family. I've got it. Don't need any help. I'm going to control the outcomes with my kids, control the outcomes with my aging parents. I'm going to control the job situation. I mean, I don't need any help on this. All right, this is mine to bear. All right, I've got it. Don't need any input. And so we carry these things around that we weren't necessarily intended to carry. So pride says, I've got this, whereas humility says, I can't. I mean, I'm aware of the fact that I can't even control my own life, let alone my kids' outcomes. I mean, how can I do that? I can't control outcomes for my aging parents. I can't control outcomes for the economy. I can't control the outcomes for whether I'm going to keep my job or not. I can't control, you know, whether we're going to continue in a pandemic, the impacts of COVID that we continue. I can't control any of that, right? To which Peter would say, okay, now we're getting somewhere in our conversation. And so Peter, he goes on, he says, so humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Meaning when we begin to realize the greatness of God and the mightiness of God, we begin to humble ourselves in his presence. And we begin to bend our life toward him. So he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up. And we go, yeah, but I'm feeling weighed down. And he'd say, right, because you're carrying things you weren't intended to carry. But as soon as you say, okay, I can't. Like, do you levitate at that point or what? Like, maybe not. But do you feel lighter when you go through your day? Probably, because all of a sudden you're not carrying that weight around anymore. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Now, here's where we struggle right here. This phrase, in due time. In fact, there's a pastor by the name of Levi Lusco. He talks about how we really shouldn't be, as human beings, the ones to determine in due time. You know what I'm talking about? He's like, we're the ones that burn our mouths on a Hot Pocket, right? Like, how ingenious is that? Like, what's the point of a Hot Pocket? Like, I can put it in the microwave, 60 seconds later, bam, I have dinner, right? But we can't even wait long enough to let it cool down, so we burn our mouth like 10 seconds later. Like, so our understanding of in due time, like, yeah, we're like, yeah, I prayed, and God didn't do anything. I mean, I prayed and prayed, but I mean, he just never showed up, right? And so, you know, Peter's saying, hey, remember, God said, humble yourselves, therefore, under my mighty hand, and I will lift you up in my due time. See, in due time is not like when this service is over. In due time perhaps may not even be at the end of this week or at the end of next month or even perhaps at the end of this year. In due time could be, hey, just trust me on this, God says, and in a year or two or three, you might begin to experience some of what I have for you. So Peter's kind of like, let me give it to you specifically. You asked about anxiety. I've been talking about humility. So here you go. Here's verse 7. He says, cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. He says, cast it on him, all right? So we tend to pick it up and sling it around and carry around everywhere we go. But he says, no, I want you to throw it off your shoulder and onto him. We don't do that very well, do we? We just like to carry it around. And so here's the reality. Perhaps the thing you're anxious about, your anxiety stems from carrying something that you weren't meant to carry. I mean, maybe you're anxious over something that you're trying to control and you can't control it. You're like, yeah, but it's my kids. I love my kids. Okay, well, love them. Like, that's totally cool. But, like, you can't control them, right? Or my aging parents. What do you mean? Just, like, be irresponsible with them? No, be responsible. Like, set a plan. Like, identify what the needs are. But then, like, you can't control the outcome. Again, perhaps your anxiety is something to do with carrying something that you weren't intended to carry. And see, this is beautiful to me because God cares for you and he says you can cast your anxiety on him because he cares, because he's willing to carry things that you and I were not ever intended to carry. How do I know that God cares for me? I mean, it seems somewhat abstract. I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, what can we believe? Is there something that God said at some point? I mean, is there something that God did or an expression that he gave us or some kind of like symbol that showed the character of his heart that says, I care for you? Thank you, guys. See, this was an instrument of the Roman government right here. For centuries, this was punishment to people who did wrong. I mean, but see, the cross is also a centerpiece of our faith. And see, at the core of our faith isn't just that God said something in the world. It's not that he just said, hey, I care for you. No, at the core of our faith is that God did something. He revealed something. He showed something. That he's not distant, that he's not numb to our present reality. In fact, perhaps one of the most empathetic things God has ever done in the world was sending and allowing his own son to come walk here on the earth with us, to feel what we feel, to walk in the streets and the road and the pain that we experience day in, day out, and to then sacrifice his life, to give up his own life as a way of showing us, hey, listen, now I see you, and I hear you, and I care for you. And so the reason that the cross is so crucial to this conversation right here is that the cross reminds us that God is willing to carry us. And so when Peter says, hey, this God that I've come to experience, he's so kind and so generous and he's so genuine. When he says, bring all your stuff to me and cast it on me, when he says, hey, come to me, all of you who are weary and laden, who are burdened down, listen, I'm going to give you rest. When he says that, like, he means it. Like he means that we can take like the very things that weigh us down. I gotta zip it up so you know OSHA isn't upset with us here. And I can cast it on him. My worries, my anxieties, my fears, I can just throw it onto him because he cares for me. And see, when you get fixated on that thing today, tomorrow, this week, that you're just trying to control. You're trying to control the outcome on. Right? You just say, this is mine to control. It's mine. I got it. What he's saying is, I want you to have a broader view. See, in the movie for this week, in Fatherhood, Mark, his anxiety comes to a head for him when his daughter, Maddie, when she has an accident and she has to be rushed to the emergency room. And she's rushed to the emergency room at a hospital, and it's not only the hospital she was born in, but it's the hospital that her mother died in the day after she was born. And so just walking into that space immediately created anxiety for Mark, the dad. And he immediately began to try to control the outcomes of everything. Because this is what anxiety does. See, in those moments, our Heavenly Father says to us, he says, I want you to remember that you have a Savior who went to the cross for you. And he did that so you could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he cares for you. See, when Peter wrote about this, this was real to Peter. I mean, this is so real. I mean, Peter, he had a lot of anxiety about what was going to happen when he saw Jesus next, when he interacted. What was Jesus going to say to him? What was Jesus going to do to him? And if you don't know the story of Peter, Peter was one of Jesus' best friends, one of his closest friends. And the night before Jesus died, in those 24 hours before Jesus died, some of those crucial, significant moments in Jesus' life, Peter denied his friend even knowing him, not once, not twice, but three times. The night before he died. And yet 3 days later, on that next Sunday morning, when these women ran to the grave and found that the tomb was empty, the grave was empty, and they ran back to John and Peter and James and said, hey, guys, his body's not there. Peter ran to the grave to see what he would find because he was looking for Jesus. And I don't think he knew fully what he was going to find. You know, and just imagine this for a moment. Was Jesus going to say, hey, Peter, I heard, did you deny me like once? Not twice? Three times? Whoa, dude, I don't want to see you. You're out of my life. Get out of here. But see, Jesus didn't do that. He loved him. And so when Peter says, hey, you can cast your cares on him, all right, he knows that beyond a shadow of a doubt, hey, he cared for me when he didn't have to, and he'll care for you. And see, for some of us, we feel a bit like a runaway, right? Like when it comes to faith, it might be like, yeah, I kind of dropped my faith off a while back. I haven't really been engaged. I mean, do you really think God's going to turn an eye toward me? I mean, I certainly have not been faithful or present with him. You know what he said to you? He said, no, I'm still here. Think about Peter. I'm still here, Peter. You can cast your anxiety on me. Now, the Apostle Paul, on the other hand, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote about this, he's a little more direct because that's just how Paul was. You might be thinking, okay, it's a little vague for me. I mean, casting my cares on, you know, on Jesus. I might get the illustration. You know, I can hang it on the cross and, you know, it's a good illustration. I can see that I physically can make the transfer and, you know, but like, is the nail going to hold? like is this something you peel over into the front row? Some of you are like, I'm glad I'm not in the front row. Like, the people that are anxious in the room, this is what they're thinking right now, all right? And it might. I mean, the nail may, you know, break down. I can tell you the cross of Jesus won't break down for you. But see, Paul, he was a little more direct in this. In fact, he said, let me tell you specifically what you need to do. All right, he gave us a very practical application. And so if you're somebody who's like, you know, okay, so what am I supposed to do today to address my anxiety? Paul's your guy. You're going to love what Paul says. Here's what he says in Philippians 4. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Done. Case closed. Thank you, Paul. All right. He's like, you know, just don't do it. All right. And then he goes, okay, let me tell you how you're going to do it, though. So don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, to which we go, okay, Paul, but like which ones? Like there's some big ones and there's some small ones. Paul says, in every situation. Yeah, but Paul, I mean, some of these, I just don't understand how I can't be anxious about them. I totally get some of the small. Paul's like, everything, in everyone. Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition. So he says, when you feel the anxiety, when you feel the anxiety creeping up, we feel the symptoms begin to take over, we begin to feel the panic attack coming on and the breathing begin to get rushed, he says, you need to turn your anxiety into prayer. All right, you can cast your anxiety on him. When you say, okay, I can't, I can't do this. You can cast it onto him. This is the recipe. This is the cocktail. You need to turn your anxiety into prayer. Now, I know some of us are thinking, okay, dude, seriously, like this is your fairy tale solution to my real life problems. That's all you got. Like, come on. That's what Paul said. All right, hey, I'm the messenger. All right, don't shoot me, shoot Paul. All right, this is what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. He said, yeah, seriously, turn it into prayer. That's what I want you to do. And see, the problem right here is the in due time thing, right? Where like I tried it once, I prayed once, I said, God, I need you to take this from me. Nothing happened. It didn't work out. You know when you're on an airplane, and some of you, if you're not anxious when you fly, some people are anxious when they fly. If you're not anxious when you fly, you've never even heard this spiel before, right? But if you're anxious when you get on an airplane, you could recite the spiel. You know, like when the oxygen mask comes down, you could recite exactly what is said right there. Because some of you, like when you get on planes, you're anxious and you're like, I just know today's the day. I mean, this one's going down. I can just tell it's rattling before we even hit the runway, right? Like you just have this anxiety that takes over, right? And I don't get anxious when I fly. I love flying. I've flown like 16 times in the last 14 months, 16 different flights. I just don't generally get anxious, except for one flight that we were on from Nairobi, Kenya, a little pedal jumper, to Western Kenya when we were heading to Village Project Africa. And in that particular moment, Julie and I were in an exit row. And so we had this very dignified, well-spoken flight attendant come and explain the exit row procedures to us and asked us if we could do that. We said, absolutely. And then he reached over us and ripped the panel off the side of the door. It was Velcroed on. He said, if there's a problem, you rip this off and pull this handle to open the door unless there is something dangerous outside, to which we got kind of big eyes. He said, dangerous could be smoke, fire, explosions, lions, tigers. No, there's no bears in Africa, right? Just lions and tigers is all there is, all right? I looked over at Julie, I'm like, okay, this seems like this happens pretty frequently. I think we should be a little bit concerned. All right, that was probably the only time I've been anxious in the last 20 years on an airplane. Back to the oxygen mask. You know when that thing drops in front of you? What do they tell you? What do they say about the oxygen mask? They say, put it on. But you're probably not going to see it inflate, right? You're not going to see air flowing through, but it's working. I mean, what do you do? If you don't see it working, if you don't see the air inflating the thing, should you just take it off and throw it on the ground? No, you don't do that, do you? No, you've got to trust the process. See, it's actually working even though you don't see or seem to think that it's working. And see, this is how prayer is. We have to trust the process. We want to see it working. We want to see the immediate, I want to see it change right now. But see, you can't give up. You got to continue to trust that even though I don't see it working, it's working. You got to stay with it. You got to keep with it. You got to continue to cast your anxiety on him. And if that's not enough, Paul gives us one more thing. He says, I got one more thing for you. He goes on. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, cast your anxiety in God with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, this is huge right here. Huge, 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 huge. Meaning gratitude has a role to play in our anxiety. You might say, okay, Kurt, what role does gratitude have to play in my anxiety? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's the role it plays. Let me tell you a story. So some of you are aware, 4 years ago or so, my wife, we found out she had breast cancer. Caught it at a very, very early stage. I'm still totally blown away, amazed at how the doctors found this and God's hand was in this. I still don't know fully how it happened. She went through some procedures, radiation. A year later, she was clean, given a clean bill of health. We were so thankful. And so she still goes back every 12 months, as any cancer survivor, for her yearly checkup. And I'm not going to lie, every time October rolls around and we hit that appointment, which is coming soon, I hold my breath a bit, just waiting for, are we going to get another clean bill of health? Few years ago, and this is a pretty regular conversation, but a very distinct moment I remember with some of our friends, they said, Julie, how do you not have anxiety all the time over the reality that your cancer could be back and you don't even know it? And I'll never forget what she said right here. She said, honestly, I cannot fixate on that. She said, I choose to be thankful. I choose to be thankful for the fact that God walked through us through this in amazing ways. We still can't explain it. I choose to be thankful for the reality that my cancer's not, there's no more cancer in my body right now. I choose to be thankful for the fact that I still get to be a mom to my four kids, and they still get to have a mom. I choose to be thankful that, I still get to be an educator. I still get to, build into kids and pour into students here at Crosspoint through my role of building into kids and helping them see Jesus for who he is. I mean, that's how you do it right there. Because here's what gratitude does. Gratitude causes your fear of the future to snap back into your present reality. That's what it does. You can fixate on, whoa, what if it's returned? But right now, I'm gonna fixate on the fact that I'm thankful that I'm cancer-free. I'm thankful that I still get to be a mom to my kids. I'm thankful I have an amazing, wonderful, handsome husband that I still get to spend time with. I'm thankful for that. She didn't say that. See, when you overcome anxiety, you do it by casting your cares onto him through prayer, by saying, God, I can't do this. I need your help. And by turning your anxiety into gratitude. Even out loud if you need to. Maybe it might be making a list. Like, this is one of our next steps this weekend. Maybe this is the tangible, active thing you need to do this week. Every time you feel anxiety creeping in, you need to go, you know what? I'm going to be thankful for what I have right now in the present moment. Because I can get fixated on the future, but I'm going to snap back to reality because that's what gratitude does for us. So Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. All right, meaning this is beyond your and my ability to even understand it. All right, and I see a few of you kind of be like, yep, I've been there. I can't explain it, but yes, I've experienced this. Paul says, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's going to guard your heart. There's a peace. It's beyond any kind of explanation. And it's built on the cross, and it's defended by the cross. And Paul says, it's going to guard your heart. Now, when I was reading this week, the image I had come to mind for whatever reason, maybe because, NFL starting this weekend, maybe that's why. I was thinking of Quentin Nelson, who's the Colts left guard. Have you ever seen Quentin? Quentin is like, I mean, he gets down in his posture. You know what his job is? Nobody's touching my quarterback. Nobody is touching my quarterback today. I mean, he gets down and he engages with that linebacker and he drives. He just pounds him into the ground. Look at him right there. I mean, he just drives like, you're not touching him today. Come on, step up to the line. Nobody's getting to him. I'm defending my quarterback. Carson Wentz, you're not going to the ground. That's what peace does for us right there. See, peace, it's built by the cross. It's defended by the cross. It says, hey, there's a mighty hand that's going to protect you. It's going to engage and say, no, you're not getting to my son or my daughter. And Paul says, man, if you'll cast your care or your anxiety on me, because I care for you. If you'll cast that onto me, with thanksgiving, be thankful for what you have now, kind of pull yourself back into reality in the moment. I'll tell you what, you're going to experience something that doesn't even make sense. Because see, the cross reminds us that God is willing to carry us. Right? He says, hey, I'm here, I'm ready. You can put your anxieties on me. But see, the story of our faith doesn't end with the cross, right? The story of our faith actually involves an empty grave. And while the cross reminds us that he's willing to, the empty grave reminds us that he has the power to. He has the power to overcome our anxiety. That anxiety will not necessarily get the best of you because, see, he's overcome even death. There's a great moment in this movie where Mark, the dad, sits down with his wife's father, so it'd be his father-in-law. And you saw it in the trailer there. His father-in-law says, Mark, you're just trying to make everything perfect. He says, but we don't have that kind of control. And so what do you do in the middle of your anxiety? When you're feeling like, man, I got to control it. I got to shape it. I got to control the outcomes. So you're faced with that decision. Am I going to carry that anxiety, or am I going to cast that onto the one who's willing to carry it for me? And just like Mark, we have to face that question every single day. Every single day. What am I going to do today? Am I going to carry around what I was not meant to carry, or am I going to allow God, the one who cares for me, say, God, I can't do it. I'm going to let you carry this. See, I genuinely believe that you can overcome your anxiety and that tomorrow can be better than today, and that a year from now you can go, yeah, I'm still in my life. But you know what? I've learned through prayer and petition, saying, God, I can't. And through Thanksgiving, God, I'm so thankful for what I have right now. It's going to snap me back from my anxiety in the future to what I actually see you doing right now. That you actually are taking care of me, and the peace that transcends all understanding. Paul says, it's going to guard your heart. In fact, right now, as we wrap up, I want to give us a moment to just do that, to pray, to talk to God, to put words to God in prayer form, conversational form, just in our own mind, our breath. In these last kind of quiet moments, to just share with him whatever you're anxious about, what you carry in here that you're anxious about. And do you want to keep carrying it, or you want to say, okay, God, I'm gonna hang it. I'm going to say, God, I can't. I don't know. Because he can be trusted. And perhaps for some of us, this is a moment to reengage in our faith. Maybe you're like, yeah, I was kind of a runaway for a while, kind of left faith by the wayside. Maybe this is a moment where you reengage. Remember Peter? I mean, Peter, Jesus had every reason to be like, Peter, get out of here. But he didn't. He didn't. He cared for him. He invited him to cast his cares on him because he can be trusted. So let's just bow our heads for a moment. And I'll start a prayer, and then you can just kind of pray for a few moments on your own. Heavenly Father, the things that we're feeling anxiety over right now, maybe things we carried in here, things on our mind as we've been spending these last few minutes together, we just want to hand these over to you. We say, God, I can't do this. I've tried. I can't control the outcomes. So whatever those things are, we just want to tell you about it right now. So we hand them over to you. Just hear our prayers.